Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifies, World of Outlaws, Arcas, it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
What do you say we get this thing fired up? Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the Racetime Radio Studio. So glad you could tune in tonight. Have we got a dandy lined up for everybody tonight? A little bit shorter on the guest list, but Joe, we're going to have a little more time to actually talk about some stuff as well.
Yeah, definitely. Get a chance to cover off some of the news that took place, of course, this week and put a preview spotlight on what's to come. Obviously, lots of people are jumping on airplanes and heading out to Tulsa for next weekend's action for the Chili Bowl. Cover off some different news pieces. The last few weeks before Christmas, before the Christmas break, we put a spotlight on champions and showing the champions that were in 2018. Since last, we are now talking about previewing stuff for 2019, which is cool. Yeah. And always an exciting period in time to shine a spotlight on what's to come and get excited and get the juices flowing for 2019.
Yeah, and there's lots to get excited about, I can tell you that.
There is.
Man, oh man. Let me tell you first, too, we got coming on tonight's program, and then I want to jump into a few things. We're going to open the phone lines off the top tonight. How about that? That's different. But coming up tonight, driver the number 21 at Delaware Speedway is where you can find this first guest, and his name, Rick Verburn.
Yes.
And he's got a beautiful-looking number 21. He's got a lot to be excited about in 2019.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people know Rick both from the racetrack. Basically, if there's a big super stock event anywhere in Ontario, Rick is a staple at it, whether it be at Jucasa or Delaware Speedway, across the board. Rick has some new sponsorship stuff to talk about, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
And Rick is obviously a crew member on DJ Kennington's team with the 27 Mopar car. When he's not driving, he's twisting wrenches. So we'll get a chance. This will be Rick's first time on the program and kind of get a preview of what's to come at Delaware and what's to come with the Superstock division as well with what he's got going on. So
yeah.
Looking forward to talking to Rick.
And we'll find out how he likes his Pinty's wings and which one is his favorite.
Yes. And we will talk about throwing axes.
Yeah.
He's not very good at it.
He's not.
No. So I'm just going to take a short little stab at him right there. His brother's definitely better than him.
Oh, look at that. And he's defenseless right now because
totally
he's not on that hotline.
That's
and
right.
He won't be for a bit.
That's
so
right.
It's okay, Ricky. We'll get him. You think of the comeback, buddy. The truffle shuffle or something's got to be in there. Coming up also on tonight's program, we're going to talk NASCAR Xfinity. We're also going to talk short track racing with one of Canada's best guys, I'll tell you, when it comes time for getting one of these cars. Doesn't matter whether it's right up to the Cup Series or all the way down to a four-cylinder. I imagine Mario Gosselin is a guy that absolutely everyone in Canada that's a race fan knows. Mario, also behind the wheel a week ago at New Smyrna Speedway for the Red Eye. We'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about Xfinity. Full-time effort last year with Alex. Alex Labbé in the number 36, all-Canadian team, the
DGM.
DGM. There we
yes.
go. I have a hard time putting those three letters together.
Well, I always say DGR, but of course that's David Gilliland racing. So it's not DJR, it's DJM, DGM.
DGM.
But Mario.
Yes.
That's all you need to say.
Well, we're going to have Mario on the show tonight. Love catching up with him. We'll find out what's happening. We'll find out what's happening in the number 36 shop. And we'll also check into him and find out how come he let Mike Skinner beat him at New Smyrna Speedway in that red eye.
Mike Skinner's beat him a couple times in the truck series, and I'm surprised that he let him beat him in a super.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to take a little shot at him.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. Of course, another guy that's defenseless right now.
That's right.
We're throwing darts at him.
That's okay. There's one.
You throw a dart. I throw a dart. We're good to go.
Well, and our third guest on the show tonight is fresh back from Daytona International Speedway. He is the general manager for Brett Holmes Racing, driver the number 23 in the ARCA presented by Menards Series. We're going to catch up with Nick Moncher here on this program. Good friend of yours, good friend of mine. We'll talk to Nicky and find out what all shook out at Daytona. Got a little text from Doug Gonder here just a little bit ago. Sounds like there was 30 cars at that test. We even had a Canadian in the field. Our Jason White was in a car and doing some testing. So we'll yak about that. We'll check in with Nicky here tonight and get the lowdown on what's happening at Daytona.
Definitely. He had a good vantage point as well because he usually spots for those tests and for a majority of the races that Brett does. But it'll be pretty cool to catch up. And he'll be able to give us a good overview because, really, if you're a spotter during an ARCA test, that's all you do is you stand up top and you just watch everything.
You watch everything
it's up three there. It's single car runs and three car drafts and stuff like that. It'll be cool to catch up with Nick and see what's coming down the pipeline. Of course, lots of stuff happening with ARCA. You know, the competition is shaping up to be absolutely insane this year. You know, there's a lot of surprise names jumping into the series that a lot of people didn't see a couple weeks back. So it should be pretty interesting. Obviously, ARCA is now owned by NASCAR. So we'll kind of get a preview of what's to come and, you know, what's kind of happening behind the scenes within the ARCA Racing Series from a guy who's in the know.
Yeah, when you look at ARCA, and I've always enjoyed the ARCA Series, have for many, many years. And then when I heard the news last year that NASCAR was coming in and buying ARCA, I thought, wow, what a transition that's going to be. Of course, you got the NASCAR K&N Pro Series East and West. And sounds like there's going to be some amalgamation take place in 2020 or 2021. Which one was it?
I believe it's 2020. That's projected into 2021. So I believe that there's a small amalgamation going to happen next year and then kind of grow deeper into 2021.
How will those two cars fit together? Like, there's going to have to be
some
massive
changes. We're
going
to have to talk to Nick about that. I don't know the specifics on, you know, the specific rules between the two groups. I know that they've been similar for a long time, and they always have been similar. We'll have to talk to Nick about the specifics about that. The neat part, you know, and it's kind of a thing that you're going to see, you know, kind of grow into even the short track level of auto racing, you know, on asphalt. I think NASCAR identified the fact that there was a lot of diversity in the cars and what is available out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it is a great move to amalgamate ARCA, the K&N series on both sides into one. And I think this is a perfect opportunity and you know, to do that just simply because there isn't the depth of amount of people that can afford to get into that level of racing.
Yeah, right.
And we've seen,
so
you know,
is it
more money
to run ARCA than it is to run K&N? Like, you can't compare the two
schedules. I don't think you can't compare the two schedules. It's more money to run ARCA simply because there are a lot more bigger tracks that they race on. The Daytonas, the Talladegas, the mile and a half, the mile and a half, and more races as well. And, you know, it is live TV, so it attracts a little bit more money into the series for a handful of the races. I believe every race this year is going to be live TV, whether it be on MAV or Fox Sports 1.
Right.
But, you know, when you look at the K&N series, a lot shorter schedule, you know, it's a similar travel schedule, whether you're on the east or the west.
Right.
But I think that it's a little bit more expensive on the ARCA side just simply because of the diversity.
Car to car. I'm going to go buy a K&N car. I'm going to go buy an ARCA car. Which one's going to cost me more money to buy the car?
I think a Super Speedway car for Daytona or Talladega is going to be your most expensive car.
Right, and K&N doesn't have that.
They don't have that. They don't have that spend.
Right.
That being said, you can spend the same amount of money on a short track car for, you know, a race at Sobo or New Smyrna.
Right.
but you're not going to need to,
right?
So
right.
to speak. So when you look at what the body style now between the two have now came into this composite body, this flange fit
right.
body,
and
right?
Perfect and idea, right? And
100%.
They look beautiful.
They look great, and I think that has taken a large chunk of cash that it used to take to hang these bodies, and put it into R&D and chassis development,
right?
As well the new motor rules that these guys have. Compared to 5 years ago in the Arca series or the Canon series, you know, is definitely a step in the right direction for both of them. And you're seeing that as well in the truck series, and in the Pinty series, even into the other touring series.
Well, I was just going to say, doesn't it beg, it just totally begs the question, will they, when they amalgamate the Canon and Arca, would they even look at, you know, the NASCAR Pinty series here in Canada, because our cars weren't too far off what they had down there.
They're very far off from what they have down there. They're completely different, and they're fundamentally different from a K&N car or an ARCA car to what a Pinty's car is. The ARCA series and the K&N series are very similar. But when you look at the Pinty's car, what's underneath is completely different, and then what's on the outside is completely different as well. I think that NASCAR, and this is a rumbling that was in the NASCAR Pinty's garage all the way through the season last year. There was a certain amount of speculation to see if NASCAR was looking at combining,
yeah.
just simply because they placed all of those cars, the K&N series and the Pinty's cars, at New Hampshire Motor Speedway.
Yeah, yeah.
So to get a good grasp on how fast they are, what they're doing time-wise, what they're doing setup-wise, all those things, I think that was a perfect opportunity to see. And by the sounds of it, they weren't similar at all.
How were they speed-wise?
They were, I believe it was a second and a quarter.
Wow.
Different.
Big.
And with a larger split front to back. So
I don't, and
to be honest with you, I don't foresee anybody in the Pinty series taking their car, loading it up, and going and running a regular K&N race.
Well, you can't see that now, but if their car was the same.
A regular race, it doesn't make sense. You know, you're not going to take a Pinty's car and take it to Dover.
Well, you would if you could get points. If you could get points, like, wouldn't it make sense? It would. I think it would make sense.
But you're bringing a knife to a gunfight, no matter what.
No. I mean, if they're compared. If they're comparable.
Yeah.
I know they're not right now,
yeah.
but I'm saying if the day comes where they are, it would make sense to have the same car.
It would.
And I've always felt that way. I think we need Toyotas in NASCAR Pinty's racing.
Yes. But ultimately, I feel that the Mexico series,
yeah.
the K&N series, the Pinty series should all be the same type of car.
Yeah, it would be a great idea.
But they're so dramatically different that you could never implement that. I don't believe that you could ever do it.
Maybe not in one foul swoop, but how about working your way to it? Like eventually work your way to it and sort of scope things. You got to have direction. You got to have projection.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're done.
Yeah.
So the time is now to start looking at something like that. It'd be cool. I'm just saying. We would have more cars for both. You'd end up with more cars for both.
Yes, and I agree wholeheartedly. But the biggest thing is that the Pinty's car is so dramatically different than where a K&N car's at. You know, and also if you've got the money to go from Pinty's to K&N, I believe that is a lateral step completely. I don't believe it's a massive step forward. For a Pinty's guy to jump into a K&N car,
no,
I believe it's 100% lateral.
Yep, yes,
I think that the competition level in the Pinty series is even a tick higher than what you see in the K&N East or West.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
So, really, to amalgamate the two, it doesn't mean a whole lot. Now, one thing that I can see,
well, if it doesn't mean a whole lot, then it must not make too much sense for the Pinty's cars to be at New Hampshire.
Well, I think that it was a great race, though.
It was.
Where
is the sensibility in that?
That's I didn't hear any word or speculation post New Hampshire of they were trying to measure them up.
Right.
You know, it was leading up to it. I don't think that there's a chance in hell that they that both of them combine. I don't foresee it now.
No. That's too bad. I really wish they would.
But. Oh, now one thing I will say is the motor that's in a Pinty's car today.
Right.
The spec motor.
Okay.
Right. It would be in a cool world where you could take the motor package and drivetrain package across to the next division.
See, no.
And I think that they were trying to get there originally, but now you're seeing different motors pop into the Pinty side.
And that's what they were thinking with the same engine in a truck, right?
That's
as what was in an ARCA car.
Correct.
Or a Can-Am car. Yeah. So at least you got, you know, the mill that you can take and move.
Which I love that. I
so
love that
I.
aspect.
I think it's a great idea.
And I think it's a step in the right direction if you can do that.
Well, let's add Canada to the mix.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, if as long as it doesn't cost our Canadian guys too much money.
Which I ultimately, that is what would happen. Because I think if you allowed a K&N car to run against a Pinty's car or vice versa,
right,
the K&N car is going to have an advantage structurally to a Pinty's car. So I think once that starts to happen, you know, they phased in these fiberglass bodies both on both sides, on the ARCA series and then as well on the K&N side.
Right.
You know, the body aspect, you know, it was a weight savings to go to the lighter body.
Yep.
And
so an advantage to do it.
It was an advantage to do it, but it kind of phased in slowly.
Right.
In order to do it up here, it's not phasing one thing out. It's the entire chassis. It's the entire bolt-on accessory package that you have.
Right.
So, really, when you look at the shock package of a Pinty's car, it's got $50 shocks on it, and they own 5,000 of them so they can get the right numbers.
Right.
Where in the K&N series, you've got a good set of shocks that you can adjust on. You know, your braking package, the braking package of a K&N car is an actual braking package. The one that is on a Pinty's car isn't suitable for a Fiesta, a Ford Fiesta on the highway.
Right, right.
You know, so the actual nuts and bolts that go into a Pinty's car, and I'm not putting them down by saying that, it's just the way that it is, and it's what the series was physically built on.
Right.
Cheap shocks and cheap brakes.
Yep. Trying to keep the
expense down. But I feel that as soon as you allow anything like that into the other side, you're opening up Pandora's box, and really it's going to, as soon as one guy hits it, then it's such a massive advantage and goes from there.
I'm surprised they have like a brake package like that yet running on a track like New Hampshire. You'd wonder at them not saying, we got to revisit
100%.
And as long as everybody's got the same, I guess there is no real big potential. That's why when you're at a short track and you're sitting there and it's practice, that's why you see the same type of car on the track at one time. You don't see like a four-cylinder go out with the late model guys. At least
exactly.
You shouldn't.
Yeah.
And that's because one guy can stop a whole lot quicker than the other. Not to mention the guy can go a lot faster than the other. But nine times out of ten, the reason why I know we didn't do it at Savo Beach was the stoppability of the car as opposed to the speed of the car. But,
yeah, correct.
We got so much to talk about tonight. I want to let you know, phone lines are open. You got something that's on your mind? You want to talk about it? Maybe it happened through the week. You can call us. We're going to have Rick up here right around the 20 after mark. So you can give us a call tonight, 888-572-2384 is the hotline number. I'll give it to you again, 888-572-2384. Maybe it's your first time calling in. Give us a shout. We'd love to hear from you tonight. But speaking of the NASCAR Pinty Series, Junior, the schedule was announced just the other day, so good news there. 13 points-paying events, and I thought, when I seen the schedule, I went, wow, we picked up a race here somewhere. I had it marked down as 12 in 2018, but I know where I was making my mistake was the double hit at Wyatt Group Speedway out in Saskatoon.
Correct.
That is a double two points-paying events on the same night.
Yes, absolutely. And I was surprised and shocked that there wasn't a change somewhere in there because of the time that it took to announce the new schedule.
Right.
You know, and I think that everybody thought that, you know, look, there was a change coming or a change that was close to happening. You know, when the schedule came out, it's very similar to last year, if not identical, on the actual layout of it. Obviously different dates and a few weeks here and there, but
well, Saint Eustache was not supposed to be back.
That's
right?
One thing. From my understanding, I didn't believe that St. Eustache was going to be back. I thought that they were closing. That was a big announcement.
That's what I thought. That's what I had heard.
I mean, last year's race at St. Eustache, if I owned that property, I would have that back again in a heartbeat because there were so many people there.
Right.
There was a solid 7,000 people there.
Gotta love
it. At St. Eustache on a, you know, a 3/8 mile, 3/8 or a half. I don't know what size it is. I think it's a 3/8 flat short track to have 7,000 people there. It was wild. It was pandemonium. I know St. Eustache always gets a great crowd and it was a cherry on top. It was one of the best short track races that I've attended.
That was your first trip to St. Eustache?
That was correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But mind boggling at how many people were there.
Well, the Pindy series is going to kick off on Victoria Fest at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. I might add right now, there was also a release done last week from CTMP. Tickets for all the events, including the Silverado 250 weekend, are all on sale now. So if you're looking for your tickets for CTMP for 2019, make your way to their site, pick up the deals, get your sites all booked, and be ready to go. Awesome-looking schedule for CTMP and a great-looking schedule for the NASCAR Pinty Series. But we do have a caller up on the hotline, and let's welcome in, what do we got? We got Kent. What's going on out there on that East Coast, Kent, my man?
We're frozen to death.
Here too, buddy. Here too. It's freezing.
Yeah, we had minus 22 last night and minus 30 with the wind chill.
Well, you can keep that.
You can keep that. We weren't quite that cold. It was cold enough, though. We had to bring the brass monkey in, otherwise there was going to be more parts on the deck.
Yeah, well, we're not hitting zero all week, so.
Yeah.
Trying to rev these engines up and get spring here.
Yeah, no kidding. You got a lot of snow out there?
No, a lot of the snow is gone. We've had quite a bit of snow early, like. We don't normally get, last few years we haven't gotten snow till after Christmas.
Right.
She started snowing and right after Halloween, but it would come and then rain would come and melt. But
yeah.
But you might have seen some photos on Facebook there in northern Cape Breton. They got snow banks 14 feet deep. Or not banks, but the road, the cut through the road, they got 14-foot hills on either side.
You know Brad Mann is just eating it up, right? He loves it out there. More
yeah,
snow, more
probably
snow.
Yeah, we got about half that up in northern New Brunswick. So
yeah, pretty crazy.
Probably all right with what he's got, too. So.
Lots of schedules coming out. Kent, you getting excited yet? Pinty's is out. Ensemble Speedway has their schedule out. No, that one you're probably not going to attend. But there is a lot of real good news coming out these days.
Yeah, I was intrigued there last week when they were talking about the Canada Nationals, that there might be some other track winners being automatic qualifiers and waiting to hear and probably thinking that one of the races in the East, the winners should be qualified, whether it's the IWK 250 or the CAT 250 or even the one in New Brunswick, but one of them in the Maritimes should be an automatic qualifier for that $75,000 to win.
That would be cool.
Would say both those races, the IWK 250 and the CAT 250, both of those should be qualifiers, if you ask me, because if you go out and win one of those 250s and both of them are tough to win, man, I think you would earn your stripes to be at the Canadian Nationals at UCASA.
So if that was the case, if they said, all right, we're going to take those two 250s, what happens when Cassius wins both of them? Does that mean that Austin gets the second spot?
You know, he just gets double the payout if he wins. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, Alex.
Yeah,
no, I think that you know, I think it needs to be limited to just the guy who wins the race. You know, when you look at the ones that are going to be here in Ontario, I'm hearing rumblings that Sauble, of course, Alex talked about Flamborough and Delaware going to have races that are lock-ins.
Yep.
I don't know where the other ones are, if there's any other ones or what they are, but I honestly feel that those races are going to be epic, and I think that those races are going to be good because a lot of guys are going to want to win those races.
Sure.
If one of those qualifiers, like if we were to have an automatic qualifier from one of those 250s or whatever, those are going to drag a few more Maritime drivers along with them because they're going to go and say, well, he's got an automatic spot. I'm as good as he is. I'm going too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. No,
yeah, yeah.
For sure. I think
Cashes and them are going to be hard on that IWK 250. Unless something happens, I think that they're going to go out and show that they have that one.
Yes, I would believe you there. And hearing Andrew Hicken last weekend on the program, Andrew sounds like they are extremely driven to go out and hit the big shows in 2019. And those guys always are, but sounds like they got a little extra step and they're hitching their giddy up, if you will.
Well, they're going to get it started earlier with speed weeks, right? So they're going to get the engines roared up and maybe put that 13 on the podium down there and bring a little bit more recognition. And then late in the season, I think we'll see the debut to Austin there. Because of his age, he's only going to be able to go with four races there towards the end of the season because of the Pro Stock Tour rules.
But have you seen him race? Have you seen young Austin race, Kent?
I've seen video. Well, I've seen him race Legend,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Right.
And like he was up and he raced Legend there at Riverside last year. I've seen the video watching the race last year at Shediac when he had his accident, when the trailing arm broke.
Right, right. Yeah, that was wicked.
But Cassius was running first, and he was running fourth in a majority of that race.
Yeah.
Amongst the guys that was there. So I if he's got any type of talent from his grandfather, you'll only need half of it because Rolly will take them the rest of the way.
You want to believe it. What a pedigree to have, I'll tell you. Pretty exciting stuff. We get talent like that coming up, right?
Yeah, like the young guys. Well, look at Corey Hall there last year, too, in the 13 car, right? And he's coming out of that race shop, too, last year with a few rides. So.
Oh, yeah. There's so much good young talent coming through. And we've got a lot of great races to look forward to, I can guarantee that. Kent, thanks for the time, buddy.
All right, boys, catch up to you.
You want to believe it. That's Kent out on Canada's East Coast, a regular caller here to the program.
Yes, definitely.
Lots to get excited about out there.
Yes, 100%. And he brings up a great point. You know, with the East Coast side, Alex mentioned that there was going to be another one in Saskatoon as well, reflecting
right.
back.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, obviously there's only a certain amount of starting spots that you can give out to this deal.
Right.
You want to be able to attract, and, you know, if there's going to be five across the country, I'm cool with that.
I wonder,
you know,
if there's any lock-ins. U.S. qualifiers. Like, I wonder if he's going to pick any U.S. tracks and pull a qualifier or two from south of the border.
It would be interesting.
It would be very interesting.
I think if he did that, it would be great. And you know, I think it's got the chance to grow into, you know, qualifiers are a major part in road racing and as well in dirt racing.
Sure.
You know, there's quite a few different races that, you know, you win to get into another one. But, you know, when you look at the races locally here, when he talked about that, you know, just talking to a couple guys around here, those races are going to be very well attended just simply for that. I think that a lot of people will attend those races, you know, with the chance of getting out there and getting that spot.
Well, with the money that Alex is going to be paying out for the Canadian Short Track Nationals.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's $75,000 to win the race. But
a $300,000 payout.
It is an amazing payout. And just to qualify for that is going to pay you, I believe it was $1,500. I could be wrong.
No. It was,
but I think it was around $1,500 just to make it in the field.
No, it was $2,500 just to start.
Is it?
Yeah, just to make the show.
Okay. Maybe I'm going off of last year's, and it was like $1,500.
And that's going to continue to increase over the next
the
next 2 years after this.
Well,
so it's definitely cool, and the amount of money that you're talking, $75,000 to win, is more than a majority, if not all, of the Truck Series starts.
Right.
You know, when you put that into perspective, you're racing for more than what the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series is going after.
Crazy.
There's not a whole lot of dirt shows that even pay out to that level.
There's a
couple that are $100,000 here and there. Really, when you look at the, it is the richest asphalt short track racing show in North America.
And if you don't think it is, just wait, not only 2019, but the projections for this race, from what we heard last year, the projections for this race, it's going to continue to rise each and every year. So if you want to try and match what's going to happen at Yukasa, you better get your wallet out, because it's going to go up again in 2020 and beyond.
2021 as well.
Yeah.
They're saying that it's going to be $1 million payout in 2021.
$1 million purse.
Purse, yeah, purse. Like the entire purse.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, at the rate that you know, if you look at it, it's going to be like $250,000 to win the race.
Yeah, yeah, huge.
And when you look at, you know, the cost of racing a late model for a year, you could run feasibly in the APC series for, you know, in and around the $80,000 a year mark. You could run the entire series on that much money.
On that budget.
And you know, you could be very competitive at that.
Yeah.
So when you look at the ability to win $75,000, that's a new
in
race car.
Oh,
It's a brand new pro late model with the best of everything all at once.
You're
so
going to need that,
good.
Though, to go out and win that race.
You are. And you know, it does, and it's got the ability to mess a couple of things up, because I've talked to a few guys, because, you know, we talk about it, you know, in the garage when we're, you know, hanging out. But having the ability to build a brand new car for that race alone,
right,
with the best of everything and rolling out completely fresh, there's a massive advantage to doing so.
Sure.
I don't think that this year you're going to hear too much of it. I think that there's a couple of guys that are building cars with the express purpose of that is one of the races that they're going to hit. But I think once you get to, not this year, but next year,
right,
there'll be a staggering amount of guys that will build a car just like they do for the Snowball Derby.
I was just going to say that very thing.
The Snowball Derby, if you are in the top 20 at the Derby, you likely built that car as a Derby car.
That's right. It's like, never seen a race all summer.
Exactly.
They pulled it out in December.
Exactly. So, and that's not a new concept at all at the Derby. You know, that has grown over the past, you know, 8 to 10 years, where guys have built specific cars for the Derby.
Right.
But I think that that's what it's going to come down to. And that is an exciting thing to say about Canadian racing.
No kidding.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it sure is. You know what, Junior? We're going to hit this first break. Got to say hi to Tim Ellis. I know he's listening. And Tim, how you doing, buddy?
Which Tim Ellis?
I'm not telling you.
Is it the young guy or the old guy?
Oh, they're both young.
Oh.
They're both young. Okay, we're going to hit this break. When we come back, how about Ricky, the driver, that number 21, Joe? Rick Verburn's going to join us on the other side of this break. Stay with us. We're just getting started.
Hi, race fans. This is Andrew Grizzell, driver of number 81 late model, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
Woo! It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare
interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Race time radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
R&D Performance Center has supplied feature winners and champions with the race parts needed to win since 1982. Located on Highway 2, Lower Onslow, Nova Scotia, R&D with a complete machine shop, including cylinder head testing, resurfacing, dyno testing, and more.
So you know you got to do.
Call R&D today at 1-800-565-3795. A crew of race parts professionals is ready to take your calls and ship nationwide with a full line of parts and components for all short track divisions, from Super Late Models to Legends and Bandoleros. Visit us online at rtperformance.ca.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Sunny day. Sunny day. So it was a sunny day today outside the Racetime Radio studio, but it was by no stretch any kind of warm.
Nope, it was cold.
Yeah, it sure was. But what do we got? We got cars just off the track now at Daytona. We one more week, and then 24 hours to Daytona's here, Joe.
That's right. That's right.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, ARCA climbs off the racetrack with their open test, and you know that the season's right around the corner.
Yeah.
You know, you've only got a few more weeks here. You better get your ducks in a row.
Next week on the show, we got to reach out to Joe Wells, the competition director for the ARCA presented by Menard Series. Every year, I send Joe an email and say, okay, buddy, you ready? And it's right after the test. We get him on this show, and I love talking to Joe Wells. Done it for like 21 years.
Yep.
To preview what we're going to see at Daytona. And he's a great interview. He's so laid back.
Yep.
He is 100% laid back. And that's the kind of guy you would really want to talk to. You guys, when Andrew was a rookie and went down to Daytona for the first time, I remember you coming back saying, that Joe Wells, man, he's one cool cat.
Yeah.
Just even keel all the way through.
Absolutely. And obviously, you know, with the position that he's in, he's knowledgeable, but so knowledgeable about the sport and such a great guy to talk to about the entire sport. He's got his finger on the pulse of everything, and he's definitely got, you know, some insight. Every year that we talk to him on this program, we always pick up some insight of, you know, what's coming down the pipeline, what teams are moving and shaking, you know. Know, what to expect out of the season, and then what to expect out of the Lucas Oil 200, just like every other year. But definitely, you know, it's cool to hear all the rookies and the names that were down there at the ARCA test. You know, who got approved to run in the ARCA race?
Yeah, because you got to be approved, right? If you're 100%. A new guy, you can go down to the test, and Joe and everybody else at ARCA has got their eyes glued on you guys to figure out, okay, are we going to let him out there with a pack, or are we going to have to tell this guy, you're going to have to go back and get some more experience before we turn you loose
on a
2.5 mile super speedway?
And that happens, you know, on regular occasion where somebody that comes in that doesn't know or can't hold a line or anything like that or can't follow procedure. You know, it's just part of the game. You need to be approved. And the same thing, next step, you need to be approved to run the truck series. You need to be approved to run the Xfinity series and the Cup series all the way up.
Yeah, and a good way to do that is get your ARCA license, right?
100%. And you know, get experience at the other various racetracks of different size to get ready for your career in racing. So if you've got aspirations of making it to Cup, you see the amount of young talent roll through the ARCA garage, whether it be at Daytona or at, you know, various other intermediate style tracks. You see them roll through that garage area.
Well, speaking of talent and talking about Canadian talent, our next guest, he's loaded with it. And he's got brand new race car ready to go. Let's welcome to Racetime Radio. First time. We've never had Rick Verburn on here, but we do now, and we've got him on the hotline. Ricky, how you doing tonight?
I'm really good. How are you guys?
Fantastic, my man. I got to tell you, that number 21 car looks pretty damn hot. You got yourself a nice piece there.
Yeah, it sure, certainly does. We're really, really excited about what we got to come here for 2019. Hooking up with Spark Power is going to open a lot of doors for us, and I hope I can open some doors for them as well.
Rick, it's exciting news. Obviously, you've got a vast racing knowledge when it comes time to Delaware Speedway. You've done everything there. Walk us through, obviously, as a first-time caller. I know your history, but walk us through a little bit of history that you've done at Delaware Speedway. What have you driven and through the years?
Well, it started in the seats, in the stands. My cousin Brian raced in the Enduro Series for years and then transformed into the Truck Series and then the Super Stock as well. So I kind of started helping him as a youngster, and I started banging on my dad at about 16 years old to let's start building this race car. And he made me wait a year or two, but we started in 2003 and started in the Enduro Series. And I mean, I cut my teeth there running against 180, 190 cars. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that'll get your attention, won't it?
Yeah, it certainly did. You learn a lot of maneuverability, that's for sure.
Either you learn how to steer or you learn how to fix.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, one thing, looking at your credentials, the last couple of years, you've turned a pretty big corner. You obviously got a truck championship under your belt, and then you kind of took a step forward and stepped right into the Super Stock division, and you built a bullet last year with Whitey. Talk a little bit about that relationship.
Yeah, for sure. So I met Whitey, actually. I was at a Canadian Linen Sponsor Appreciation Day. We had a day there where we met all their employees and kind of toured their facility. And DJ was there with his car. And of course, when DJ goes, Whitey goes. And Whitey and Zach were there together. And I met Whitey. And he was, of course, all over my truck in the parking lot. And I had to race that Friday night. So after we were done our appreciation thing, he says, "What are you doing right now?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, I'm probably just going to go have the track there and sit and relax and wait for the gates to open." And he said, "No, you're not. Follow me." So we followed them to the shop, and we worked on the truck for about 3.5 hours, and we went out that night and won the feature.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the start of Whitey and I's relationship, as well as my relationship with DJK. So it's weird how stuff happens, but it worked out well. We went on to win the championship in 2015, and then come back in 2017, and we won 15 out of 19 races kind of under their stable. So
wow.
It was incredible for sure. And then this past off season, we built a brand new car that we debuted last year and come out of the gates really strong with a second the first night and won a couple the next two nights. We won back-to-back. So then we kind of settled in around third and fourth. I think everybody kind of caught up.
Yeah, that happens, doesn't it, Rick?
It certainly does. It's crazy competition in that Super Stock division at Delaware Speedway. I can remember probably 5 or 6 nights this season where we'd qualify and group qualifying, and there'd be 7 to 8 cars within a tenth or two. Like, incredible.
Wow. Yeah, that's tight. Real tight. It says a lot about the class. It says a lot about the teams that are out there competing. When you get that close, that many guys, you got a good thing happening.
Yes, most certainly.
You know, I look back at the Super Stock division at Delaware Speedway. For the fans, a Super Stock is a purpose-built race car now off of, you know, basically metric design.
Forever. They used to be, when you went to Delaware Speedway, they were all Novas.
Yeah.
Everything was a Nova.
Or a Camaro.
Forever.
Yeah, a Nova or a Camaro.
Now you look at them. The car Rick's got now, that thing's a full-fledged, full-blown late model.
Exactly. When you look at the Super Stock division, I believe it was like It's got to be 7-8 years ago. You got a photo in here somewhere of J.R. Fitzpatrick's car.
Yep.
J.R. Fitzpatrick built a car with Jeff Schaller, I believe. And it's, you know, basically went out there and waxed the field with it. It was an absolute bullet. It was a purpose built race car. I believe it was a McCall chassis. And really at that point, there was the new fiberglass body that looked like the new Camaro, looked like the new Challenger. And I believe they had a Ford Mustang as well. But you know, the series has evolved completely down there. And when you roll in now, you know, the late models all have ABC bodies on them, but the super stocks all have, well, not all of them, but a solid majority of them have a fiberglass body of a today's hot rod car, or not a hot rod car, a muscle car,
right?
You know, whether it be a Mustang or a Challenger, or a Camaro. And when you look at the division, Rick, what's the health of the division? Obviously you're having fun with it, but what's the health of the division like at Delaware?
I think it's fantastic. You know, if you go back and look at the Canadian Short Track Nationals last year, we had 40 of the best super stocks in the province, you know, and we run 50 laps with just one self-spinner caution. And I mean, we were running tight, like tight. There wasn't all that many cars down a lap. And just door-to-door with guys you've never raced before, you know. There was times I was sitting there running, you know, just outside of the top five, and you're thinking, geez, if I just give this guy a bump, I can, you know, get a position or two, but nobody else is doing that, so you didn't want to be that guy, you know? And just such tight racing. It reminds me, like, these cars are so much like the Cass car from the 2000s, you know, with a leaf spring.
Right.
But aside of that, that's what they look like, you know, and they're just so much fun to drive. Obviously, we don't have the power that the Cass cars had, but it's certainly fun to drive, and I mean, these cars are not junk by any means. They're beautifully prepared race cars, and it makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like you're prepared and ready to go. It's going to be a busy summer for you, of course, not only with your racing at Delaware, but also with DJK. You back with DJ again this year?
I certainly am. As far as I know, I'll be back with the 27 team, kind of working alongside Whitey there, doing a lot of chassis setup, and I guess that means I'll have to work with Joe too.
You poor guy.
We certainly have a lot of fun down the road.
I can well imagine. I was witness to it at Jukasa Speedway for the last race. I can tell you what, you guys really do have a good time, and there's no I in team, and you guys can definitely see that with you guys. It was a lot of fun standing back watching it. I could just imagine participating in it. Is something to see, I guarantee you.
We always have good stories from the road, but I think your one story this year kind of takes the cake of getting back from the West Coast swing. We got to touch on that a little bit because you decided to fly with, I guess they were a rookie aircraft company, right?
That's right. Well, what happened was I ended up racing, so I couldn't go to the Wednesday race. So I decided, or DJ called me and said, can you come out? And I said, sure, I can. And I flew out, and Jamie sent me the flight info, and it was Flair Air. And I'm like, Flair Air?
Flair wow. Air, yep.
Geez, I never heard of this one before. So anyways, I board the airplane at Toronto, and I looked down at my armrest, and I said, I don't know what that black cover is on that armrest, but the only thing I can think of is this plane had ashtrays at one time. Like, I don't know how old this thing is, but by golly. But anyways, we flew there just fine. We went to the race. It was not the best day in the world, but we went to the race, and we got up early, and I went to the airport with the rest of the guys, even though my flight home was a couple hours later. And so I boarded, and we get up in the air, and we're about halfway home, and they come on the PA and say, sorry to advise you, but we're going to turn around and land back in Edmonton. We have a problem with the aircraft. And I'm thinking, oh, great. Why don't we just land this thing, like, here, maybe?
Like here.
You know? But anyways, we get back to Edmonton, and we all get off the aircraft, and I look out the window, and isn't there two mechanics just ripping the right engine completely apart? And I'm like, good grief. This is unreal. So anyways, they finally got us on another airplane, and I made it home for about 4:30 in the morning, only to get to work for 7. So it was a long trip for sure, but it's always worth it when you get to go racing.
Well, it's good that they noticed there was a problem, sent you back, and you made it home safe. That's always a key thing, too.
Well, a key thing here, though, halfway from Edmonton to London is far. Like, it's not exactly like you were over top of Calgary and they said we're going to land in Edmonton. That's a little bit advisable. That's okay.
Right. Yeah,
but you know, when you're over top of like Winnipeg,
yeah.
You got to turn around, come home. You can damn near see Ontario.
Yeah.
Definitely. We had a lot of fun talking about that over the course of the season.
One thing that comes to mind at Edmonton was I know you had kind of threw a stab at me there earlier in the show as I was listening, and the best was I think it was during the practice at one point I kind of looked up on top of the sea cans and I think it was just Joe and maybe one or two other guys up there, so I keyed the mic and said, "Hey Whitey, when did we get that new Mopar banner there hanging from the top of those sea cans?"
That was the best fat joke of the year. There was a couple of fat jokes that floated around, of course, working with DJ and the guys. Rick and I are the only two guys that are of size, right? Everybody else is you know, junior B. We're like full-fledged pros.
Yep, yep.
You know, that was the best. And to be honest with you, Rick, I didn't give you credit for that. I gave Bud Roy credit for that. So when I told the story, like when I got back here, I told everybody that it was Bud Roy. So hats off to you, because that was one of the best fat jokes of the year.
Well,
I'm working on that too, Joe. So we got a whole new start this season, and I'm on a full-fledged plan here to get fit and get ready to do this season. That's just how serious we are about 2019.
Awesome.
Well, that's perfect.
That's awesome.
Lower CG. You can put the weight where you want it if it falls off your body, right?
That's right.
That's right.
And you've got the car. Is the car totally ready to go right now, Rick, or do you still got a little bit more to do?
I finished the downslope today is what I like to call it. So everything's cleaned up, totally stripped. We do that every off season.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think I'm crazy at a super stock level, but working in the Pinty series, you know what the preparations are like, and you have the time through the off season. So we strip it completely. Everything is cleaned. All the bearings are repacked. We're starting to reassemble this week. I just found out this week that I had a sponsor purchase a brand new 602 crate engine.
Nice.
So that's going to DJK next week to break in on the dyno, and then we'll be putting that in, and we'll be ready for the show in Toronto.
Wow. Sounds like you are all set. And Motorama, as mentioned there, is coming up. You're going to be one of those proud guys at Motorama this year.
Yes, for sure. We're just talking with a few different people on whereabouts the car will be sitting, but we've got a few options there, so we'll be there, though, definitely.
Sounds great, my man. It's an exciting 2019 coming up, and you're going to definitely play a key role in it. Are you going to hit every one of the Delaware nights? The two schedules don't conflict at all?
They do conflict.
He plays hooky on the Pinty series and goes racing.
Right. Oh,
I have to, right?
Yeah.
I got a lot of people that support us, so obviously my prime idea is those 13 super stock races. 11 of those are at Delaware, and then we have two dates at Jukasa. So those are my main events. But all in all, I got 21 events going together that I can make. So all those races, you know, that I race a Friday night, some of them I can still make that Saturday event. Some of them I just won't be able to do. The West is always tough, and I race on the Friday night of that. So whether I go to Saskatoon or not, I don't know. But we'll look at that when the time comes. Last year I did one stint where I raced Friday night, and my brother and I left Delaware Speedway at 10 o'clock and drove straight to Three Rivers just in time for the gates to open for practice.
So wow.
I don't know about doing that again, but yeah. We made her and we did her, and we actually should have won that race too, Joe, right?
But, yes.
There were lots of those this year with Andrew for sure, but just mechanical problems, so hopefully we can lick that this winter.
By the way, you looked tired that day.
I did, yeah. I think I asked somebody to get me a Monster, and they said that they could only find rock stars, but...
yeah, I don't know who
then,
that was.
I ended up finding my own, so
yeah.
I'm not sure who it was, but we won't go any further.
I think I see the guilty person right now, but incredible. You guys have a lot of fun. I know you do. And looking forward to having more of that in 2019. Rick, this has been great catching up with you, bud.
Yes, thank you guys so much. It's really humbling to be put on this show. You know, I listen to it a lot, and I've been bugging Joe about getting on for a while, and I really appreciate it.
I'm glad
to hear that you're back at health, Joe, and keep this thing alive.
You want to believe it, brother. Much appreciated. And fans can keep up with you. They want to have a look at that car. What's the best way? Like Facebook, Twitter? What do you got for
stuff?
Yeah,
you can
stuff?
Follow me on Twitter at rverburn88. That was my old number. Just Rick Verburn on Facebook. And, you know, if you want to follow along a little bit more, you can also follow White Motorsports, Inc., and we'll be definitely posting with Spark Power Corporation. Really looking forward to working with them.
Gotta love it. You're going to put a brand new spark in that company, I can guarantee it.
I hope to, yes.
You bet. Rick, thanks so much for the time, bud.
Thank you, guys, eh?
You bet. Rick Verburn, he is ready, Junior. A little bit more to go, and then look out.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's really cool. We talk, and I always talk about certain drivers that do a great job for their sponsors, right? You know, a guy that pops into mind is Gary Elliott or DJ Kennington. I talk about DJ quite a bit. Just with having success and doing shows and, you know, integrating the race team into the business side of the company that is partnered with them. And, you know, Rick Verburn, it's not just because we're buddies, like, off the show and stuff like that, but he does a great job. You know, last year, you know, his crew has got uniforms, he's got everything decaled up, and he does a great job with shows and things like that. He's partnered with really unique companies, his company as well, Otterville Motors, that he, you know, him and his family own. But he does a great job with the companies that he works with, and it's why a guy like that can attract a sponsor, like Spark Power. Spark Power is a multinational corporation. It's a massive company, and you don't see that at the short track level a whole lot. You hear a lot of guys dreaming, oh, I want a corporate sponsor on my car.
Right.
I want this. You know, I want somebody to write a check to me so I can go racing.
Yeah.
Rick doesn't do it like that. He does shows and integrates his company into their company.
He
earns it. And it shows that it is available out there. If you want to take your racing program to the next level and not do it out of pocket and you want a corporate sponsor, take a note from a guy like Rick Verburn, take note from a guy like DJ, take note from a guy like Gary Elliott. The list can go on and on, but those are three guys that you know, I shine a spotlight on and say they're doing a great job.
Yeah, they sure are, and that's critical. You need to do that if you're going to go after that corporate partner. And you mentioned it there. The guys look the part, too, right? They've got the uniforms and stuff like that. APX Racewear is who we get our stuff through for Racetime Radio. And I'll tell you what, Tammy, Fred, they do a dynamite job. And it does take you to the next level. Trust me when I say, get that team looking as good as you guys feel about it. And it's going to show through. And that corporate sponsor is right around the corner. But so is the top of the hour. We got to throw it back to Toronto. Get you up to date on some news, some highlights, and then we come back with you for hour number two. And we got who we got coming up? We've got Mario Gosselin to come. We've also got Nick Moncher. We'll talk some more ARCA and Daytona. We've got a whole pile still to come here tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in here with us on our live stream and, of course, on SiriusXM Channel 167. But we will be back with you here shortly. You'll be ready for hour two, right?
Always. Oh, how can you not be ready?
Especially with your buddy Nick coming up.
And Mario.
Yeah, so much.
We got to talk some new Smyrna.
Oh, guaranteed. I got to find out why Mike Skinner was able to wax Mario. Can't figure that out.
Nope.
He must have broke or something. We are going to find out all that and more shortly here on Race Time. Have a listen to the news, and we'll be back with you in less than 2 minutes from right now. Stay with us.
You're listening to Canada Talks on SiriusXM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, look at that. Hour number two begins here tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167. So glad you could tune in. I want to say hello to all of you on the Performance Motorsport Network.com that listen to Racetime Radio a couple, 2 to 3 times a week. We sure do appreciate you tuning in, along with everybody at 98.9 XFM in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Hello to you out there. We'll see you again in 2019 for some races at Riverside. Also, how about Gearhead Country Radio? Also plays Racetime Radio through the week. And if you've missed the show in any part, in whole, whatever, just get to racetimeradio.com and head over to iTunes. You can also click on iTunes, subscribe to us, and you can follow us along there on Podbean. There is so many different ways of getting Racetime Radio.
Pretty soon, we're going to find a way just to inject it right into your head.
Yeah, that's real soon.
That's basically the way that we're going to make this happen.
Well, you know,
we're going to get we're going to come up with a way, a microchip. You can have it surgically implanted in your head, and you can have Racetime Radio and my beautiful voice in your ear at all times.
Oh, those poor people! Those poor people have to listen to you and I.
You know what? I want to give a big shout out to Keith Coons. Keith Coons is obviously, you know, one of the guys that it was instrumental in getting Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell, and you know the names go on and on.
Yeah.
But a great midget owner, sprint car aficionado, if you will.
Yep.
But he posted a photo this week, and you can check it out on Twitter. It's at Keith Coons, K-U-N-Z. But take a look at and follow them along, you know, through this chili bowl that's coming up.
Yeah.
But I'm going to show you this photo. Look at this.
Okay.
These are all the cars that he's bringing to.
No way.
Those are all the cars that he's bringing to the chili bowl.
You got to be kidding me.
All under one roof.
Well, he's going to have like three tractor trailers if he's taking all those.
Yeah. And when you look at it, this is the coolest part. And you know, fans, you can check it out. Go on and take a look at it. But you look at all the corporate sponsors that are on these cars.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the Craftsman car. He's got the Delta Dental car, Link Belt, Mobile One, Toyota. You know, the list goes on and on. TRD.
He should have the
JBL.
The Dawson Dental team.
I know. He's got McDonald's. He's got Mobile One, Safe Light Auto Glass. Like, when you look at it, iRacing, it is mind-boggling to see a team that invested in a show like the Chili Bowl.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's like it goes on and on.
And that's going to be a dynamite show once again.
Absolutely.
Who's going to come out the other end of that baby?
I don't think you can bet against Christopher Bell or Kyle Larson.
Christopher Bell to this day has got the best celebration donut, if you whatever.
Rico Abreu had a good one too, though.
Rico did. He did. But Christopher Bell, that guy.
He did a donut. He did. Like, what was it, 7 360s on the rear tires.
Yeah.
The front tires weren't even touching.
No.
Never
unreal.
Hit a thing.
Unreal.
Definitely
I was
cool.
Impressed.
Yes, 100%.
Very impressive.
That event is so cool. You know, when you look at the health of midget racing across across the United States, really.
Right.
They have decent shows all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But the attendance for the Chili Bowl, it is something that is like no other. And it was on my bucket list. I want to go to the Chili Bowl.
Right.
Just, you know, when you look at the depth of talent that's there, it's so cool.
I used to go to the Can-Am Midget indoor race that
in
used
Atlantic
to happen.
City?
Nope, in Buffalo.
Oh, okay.
In Buffalo.
Yeah.
Ross Potter and I went down a couple of years, and back when I owned Sobel, and we go in there, and it was Harry started that event up.
Yep.
And it was incredible. It was just over the border into Buffalo. I can tell you, Ross and I were sitting about halfway up the grandstand, and back in those days, there was a lot of big-time names that would come through and get into either a Can-Am Midget or a TQ Midget.
Yeah.
Knowing the same thing. They used to run up here in Canada, down at Lancaster, and just the exhaust that was in that building, Junior. But we were sitting about halfway up in the grandstand. My eyes were burning still like 3 days later.
Well,
but I'll tell you what, the racing
yeah.
that you've seen on that little tight track was amazing.
And I've heard stories about the Chili Bowl being the exact same way. Obviously, you need like a ventilator to sit there, or you just need to up your beer intake.
yeah,
by the sounds of it,
something.
At the Chili Bowl, if you up the beer intake, the noxious fumes aren't as bad. when you look at it, indoor racing, that is the biggest thing that you know, you got to fight a little bit. But I tell you what, I would love to smell race fuel right now.
Yeah.
I don't care. Under a roof or in a shop with a car fired up, I want to get into selling race fuel scented candles.
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to try VP Race Fuels.
That's right.
Randy can take care of you. I can guarantee you that. Here in the province of Ontario, he is the man. If you're looking for race fuel, I don't care if you're looking for it for your race car, your sled. It's got to be a race machine. But Randy at VP Fuels here in Ontario is the man. That's the guy you got to call.
100%.
Yeah, and they're back with us this year. So thanks, Randy.
Yes, thank you very much, Randy.
For being part of Racetime Radio, your continued support. One of those sponsors that has been with us since the drop of the green flag back in the beginning of Racetime Radio.
Cool.
2007. Randy came on. He's been with us all the way through.
That's right.
Yeah.
You don't burn anything else.
Dynamite stuff. No
way.
You
got to burn the good race fuel.
Well, and, you know, back when I had Sobel, he is who I dealt with.
Yes.
He was my fuel supplier, and he was my fuel supplier for a long time, and the reason why was because the guy's fair. He's fair. He's got the right product at the right price and always delivered it. I never had a problem with the race fuel at all.
That's right.
Nor did any of the teams, so... That's saying a lot. I'd back him. Whether he was part of us or not, I would say the exact same thing. That's how good, you know, VP was and how good Randy's service is. So, before I forget, which happens occasionally with me now, I want to let you know I've been in contact with the guys out at Eastbound International Speedway, Bob Smith and the guys out there. Things are coming together. They're coming together real well. So a little update for everybody. Things at Eastbound are about to get real noisy, and you'll see what I mean. Stay tuned. They can't announce anything just this moment tonight, but we are going to have Bob Smith, the general manager of Eastbound International Speedway. He's going to join us next week or maybe the week after, and he'll bring us totally up to speed on everything that's going to take place out at Eastbound in 2019. They got the schedule pretty well put together. It's going to be a busy, busy season out there, which is great news.
100%.
Yeah.
You know, and the news that you've been telling me off the air
yeah.
is definitely exciting.
Yeah, it's coming together.
You know, it's coming together, and that's all I'll say about that.
I'm
excited about
Phil
it.
Phil Fowler is jumping at the bit out there on the East Coast, out in Newfoundland. He is going to be a busy guy this year. He's got a bunch of stuff that he's going to want to talk about on this program one night. But he is getting ready to go with the Sportsman first. And then who knows where he's going to end up with everything else that he's been telling me.
Yes.
But definitely Phil Fowler is. We heard from Wayne Walsh a couple of weeks ago. He's got the 99 getting all put together. Some real exciting stuff with the young guys coming in. I got to mention Owen Groves. Owen Groves is, he lit the lamp at the end of last year, coming out of a bandolero into a late model, into our sportsman. And if he didn't go out and win his first night out,
yes,
he beat some of the best.
In a 75-lap race.
Incredible.
Yes.
This kid has got talent. Can't wait to see him in 2019. That is going to, it's going to come totally unglued. Also, I got to tell you, if you follow us along on Facebook, you've probably seen the photo yesterday of me holding up a Racetime Radio flag. It's something that, Junior, it sounds crazy, but it's something that I've wanted since the day Racetime Radio started. I wanted to get a flag.
Yes.
And Carl Neary, he is Winco out in Newfoundland. Carl sent me two flags, two Racetime Radio ones, and it sounds like we may have an opportunity to do a run of them. So if you're interested and want a Racetime Radio flag, we're going to have them for sale.
That's
going to
really
be pretty cool.
Definitely. Yeah. No, 100%. So to give everybody a little insight, we live on a lake, and right off the end of the dock, we've got a flagpole, and we've had a flagpole since I was a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you have bought so many different types and been given so many different types of flags.
Oh, yeah.
I can think back to, you know, the Bush Beer flag, the Bush Beer Bush Series, National Bush Series flag that you had, and Sterling Marlin, and...
Coors Light, Sterling Marlin. Michael Waltrip, Napa Car.
You had a Jeff Gordon one, too, right?
You had a Rainbow
Warriors flag.
Yeah, had a Dale Jr. flag.
Yeah, the Budweiser one.
The Budweiser one. I also had a Mountain Dew one that Dale Jr. Who else? Oh, man, so many of them.
You would change the flag with your mood.
I remember that.
It was yesterday, you know? It would be like a Tuesday afternoon. I'd come home. There'd be a different flag up, and it would mean something different every single time. But pretty cool.
Yeah,
it is a neat and you know, hats off to the Near East because that flag is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
You lit up like a lamp when you opened that package up.
Honestly, that was it was the highlight of not just that day. That there made me just feel fantastic. That's really cool. Michael Neary is Carl's son.
Undefeated in a Legends car.
Exactly. Unbelievable.
Talking about Owen Groves and the success that he had, we can't not mention Michael Neary.
No.
That kid never got beat this year in a field of what, like 15
to
7?
Well, we didn't have quite that many, but there was at least that when you had, like, not everybody was there every night.
No.
But by the time you mix it all up, there was probably 15, 16 guys.
Exactly.
That he would have raced
and
against
undefeated.
And beat. Yeah.
Not a whole lot of people could say that.
Well, he'll be heading for Citrus County. You can guarantee that. Speed Weeks. Watch out for the name Michael Neary.
Yep.
Watch. I'm telling you, you're going to hear a lot about him in a Legends car. The kid's magic. He does a great job, and there's so many good Legend cars that are out there. Michael is definitely going to suit the bill. It's going to be awesome to see how he makes out. Junior, we're going to hit this break. When we come back, we're going to grab Muriel Gosselin. We're going to talk about some Xfinity, and we're going to do that on the other side of the break. We'll talk short track as well.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the Sirius XM app.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. USA. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, channel 20.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win! Woo!
It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane!
We got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
It's Racetime Radio.
Sirius XM 167.
Now, here's Joe.
Back with you live tonight on Sirius XM channel 167. How's it going out there? Man, keep two hands on the wheel. Keep it locked on channel 167. We'll get you where you're going. And a lot of great programming on our channel. If you're new to Sirius XM, welcome aboard. You're going to love it. And don't forget to check out Sirius XM NASCAR Radio over on channel 90, 24/7 NASCAR Talk. Speaking of NASCAR talk, just before we grab Mario here, Joe, how about the big news last week? Johnny Sauter not going to be with GMS in 2019. That's huge.
Yeah, definitely. It is huge. And even, you know, kind of larger news is that Brett Moffitt is assuming that seat in the GMS truck. So the championship guy who didn't have any funding in the 16 and ultimately lost his ride, picked up a ride with GMS, and you know, it definitely great news for Brett Moffitt, terrible news for Johnny Sauter, but there a lot of moving and shaking this week in NASCAR, in the NASCAR world.
Big stuff,
you know,
happening,
when you look at over the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of doom and gloom stuff announced. Which I think this time of year, there's a lot of stuff like that gets announced every single year, you know, reflecting back. NASCAR, of course, going through a little bit of a layoff. And from the articles that I read this week and heard about as well, they laid off a bunch of people and are planning on doing or carrying and growing an ad campaign that they piloted last year in the Texas region that they had a tremendous amount of success with. So they laid off a bunch of people and hearts and, you know, thoughts and prayers go out to them. And hopefully they can, you know, find, another gig within the industry. You know, looking at the landscape, it's increasingly getting difficult to remain in the sport. Look at the Xfinity Series guys, you know, you look at the Roush guys, you know, in the Xfinity Series side being laid off, you know, shutting down those teams as well as the Chip Ganassi effort. But then you're also hearing growth in other areas. So, you know, it's silly season continues. This is definitely the most volatile silly season I can remember in a lot of years.
Well, it shouldn't be silly season now. That's at the end of the season.
Well, I mean, silly season.
I know it hasn't been that long ago.
Silly season isn't all that long in NASCAR. definitely difficult to hear.
Yeah, it sure is. Let's get to our next guest, shall we? We love talking to this guy. He is a rocket driver when he's behind the wheel, and when he's on top of the box, I can tell you what, he can get the job done in both spots. Let's welcome in Mario Goslin to Race Time. What's going on, Mr. Mario? How you doing? I haven't talked to you in too long.
I know, right? We're doing good. How about you?
Doing fantastic. Did you have a good holiday? Let's start there.
Oh, yeah. We had a great holiday. Lots of family time. Kind of warmed down a little bit, but you know what? It's getting close to time to wind back up here.
Yeah, no kidding. You don't get much time, Mario, to kick back and relax. And I imagine even if they did give you some spare time, you'd figure a way out how to fill it with racing stuff. I can guarantee it.
Oh, there's always a way to do that.
Well, you were behind the wheel, what, a week ago today or a week ago Saturday at New Smyrna Speedway, a track you love going to, a track you've done a lot of winning at. But, man, you didn't win this time. What happened?
We started a little further than we wanted to. I should have bought a set of practice tires during the day, but they knocked it down to 50 laps from Hunter Lapper, and anyway, we wound up qualifying ninth and started middle of the pack there. It was pretty rough. We got beat up a little bit. Got up to seventh and just got beat up, knocked the toe out, and fell back pretty far and worked my way back up to like 12th by the end. But it was a rough race.
Well, Mario, and it happens, right? Like when you're not getting behind the wheel all the time like you used to when you were, you know, Mario Goslin, the race car driver, things happen. And now when you get in there occasionally, does it feel weird getting behind the wheel or does it feel the same?
Yeah, it feels the same. It just basically, for sure, it's been too long since I've been behind the wheel. Of a super late, you know, a lot of people underestimate the short track, but it takes a lot out of you physically, mentally. And we didn't go. It rained out practice Friday night, and a lot of guys were there Wednesday, Thursday practicing, and then Saturday we only had a 45-minute practice and kind of paid the price. I messed up a little bit qualifying. I wish I would have done something a little different. And we should have qualified top five, and I think the whole night would have been a lot different if we did.
Now, was Skinner that fast, or was he just in the right spot at the right time? That Mike Skinner, man, that guy's got some incredible luck. He's incredibly fast. I don't want to take that from him. But he's been in the right place at the right time at New Smyrna. That's his home track.
Yeah, and, I mean, he had a good car. There was a couple cars that had something for him, I believe, on the long run. I mean, obviously, he was car to beat on restarts and short runs and showed it when he qualified and then started a race. He jumped out in a pretty big lead. But I believe there was a couple of guys that had something for him, but they got in trouble there along the way and wasn't able to be there at the end.
Yeah, well, it, you know what? That's the way things happen in short track racing, and it's exciting, I can guarantee that. Now, you won't be able to get back behind the wheel for a little bit because Daytona's not that far away, or do you got plans to jump him back in the Super before we get things fired off?
Not before Daytona, for sure. I mean, there's a few races over there during speed weeks, but we're too busy just finishing up everything for Daytona at that point. And I feel like it would take too much away from one or the other. So we need to focus on our Xfinity cars.
Yeah, and you will. You're a guy that always likes keeping his eye on the ball. Doesn't matter whether you're behind the wheel or on top of the box. And I know it's busy times, and I know you may not have a lot to talk about just yet other than preparation, right? You guys are just preparing and getting ready?
Yeah, I mean, we're wide open preparing. Obviously, Cesar Beccarelli is going to be back in the 90 for Daytona. 36 car is a question mark still. Alex is still working on some things. We got a few other drivers that have showed interest of getting in it, but obviously primary goal would be to get Alex back in it full-time.
Yeah, and let's talk about the success you guys had in 2018. It by no means was that an easy season. You guys did some amazing things for a full year in Xfinity. That's tough to pull off no matter who you are.
Well, especially for a small team and still, you know, relatively underfunded. I mean, Alex, you know, brought sponsorship, you know, with Can-Am and LaRue Snowblowers and Roy Auto Group. And, you know, we were very glad to have those people on board. But, I mean, compared to, the top Cup affiliated teams, I mean, we were, you know, probably operating on a fifth of their fifth or a sixth of their budget. And still managed, you know, to finish. Alex finished 17th in driver points, and we finished 20th in owner points. And felt like we started off really strong, and then we just maintained for a little bit. And then at the end there, I felt like, especially at Texas, last Texas race, I felt like we had stumbled upon something, made some changes, and I felt like it was really, really made a big difference. And unfortunately, we broke a trail norm bracket there and finished 30th, but we were definitely a top 15 car at Texas.
Oh, yeah, and that's the track, Mario, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the one where you guys or everybody was running up high. No, I'm thinking now that it's coming out of my mouth, now it's kicking in. It was actually Homestead where everybody was right up against the wall, and I was listening to you guys through practice, and I remember you coming on the radio saying to Alex, okay, now give me a few laps up there, and Alex was more tentative. He says, no, I want to try it down here and stay down near the bottom of the track. And you were the one that said, okay, if you feel comfortable down there, we'll set up for down there. And I guess that's the way you got to do it, right? You got to go with what the driver feels comfortable with.
Well, I mean, just my experience, and there's a few tracks that are like that. California comes to mind, definitely 3 or 4 California. So much speed right up by the wall. Homestead's one. There's a few tracks that are like that. And in practice, you know, he was actually faster middle of the track, but he's never been a driver that's real comfortable running these big mile and a half, fast mile and a half, up right by the wall, and it takes a little bit of getting used to, and that was one reason why I forced him up there and made him run some laps, and then he came back down the middle, and he was definitely faster in the middle, but in the race, he migrated to the top, and he found a groove up there, and it's just a lot easier on the tires, and you get such a much a better run up off the corner running up high. You can run down low on some newer tires for a little while, but long run, everybody always right at the top. It's just takes a lot of getting used to, because you can't go in. A lot of people have a tendency to go in maybe a lane off the wall and then kind of drift up to the wall and come back, you know, come off and try to cut back down, almost like diamond the corner. It doesn't work. You have to follow that wall all the way around and pack the air between the right rear and the wall. It takes a lot of getting used to.
Definitely. Looking at the season, Mario, and looking back through, you know, the entire season, a big bright spot has to be that road course show at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Talk to us a little bit about the Roval and how that whole deal transpired for you guys, because it was a heck of a showing.
Well, I think everybody was real tentative going in. Just because of the unknown, for sure, but then a lot of people tore up a lot of stuff testing. And so we didn't really know what to expect, but to our surprise, Alex spent a lot of time on iRacing. He went up to the headquarters there in Connecticut and spent a whole day iRacing and then did some from the house. And it seems to me like that probably paid off a lot. And that course fit his style. People that really tried to attack it, you could overdrive that course very easily, and Alex is very good at that, and he had done enough homework that he was pretty well acclimated to the track. And I mean, fortunately we unloaded a car that was really, really, really good right off the truck. I mean, we hardly made any changes. We missed the pole first round qualifying by I think 5/1000ths of a second. So
wow.
for a small team like us, to have the Penske guys come over and say, man, we were worried. We thought you were going to knock us off the pole. That's pretty neat, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's a testament to what you guys can bring to the racetrack, right?
Well, I mean, we work really hard each and every week. And obviously we felt like the road courses and the super speedways was some places that we could definitely run top five. I mean, we put the same effort every week. We're trying to go, you know, with the best possible car that we can bring, but we definitely had those road courses and super speedway circle on our calendar.
Mario, talk a little bit about Bristol as well, because Bristol seemed, looking back on it, I watched, I'm going to say 80% of the Xfinity races this year. Every time that I could be by a TV, I was watching it, and I was keyed in looking for you guys, and also looking, you know, and watching the race. But when I watched Bristol this year, seeing him run the way that he did, he looked like a seasoned veteran out there at Bristol. Was that a high point in the season for you guys as well?
Well, I mean, for sure, because, you know, Bristol, the first Bristol we ran better than the second Bristol. And to be that good that early in the season, was really neat. I mean, I think Bristol was like the sixth or seventh race on the schedule anyway. And I mean, we were top 10 there, and that was pretty exciting. The second Bristol, we missed the setup a little bit, and it took us a while to figure out what we were missing. Now in the race, we did finally figure it out. But as you know, Bristol, when you get behind, it's hard to get back, get that track position back. So we struggled most of the race trying to get our track position back. We just had the car too tight, and it just wasn't doing what we needed it to do. But first Bristol, we had an awesome car. We were fighting for 8th and 9th place and right there with the best of them.
kind of leaving me with the best of them comment here, but kind of leading me in perfectly. Obviously, you know, listening to Sirius NASCAR Radio, listening to all the news that has came out on the negative side in the Xfinity Series, then you look at your team and what you guys are putting together. Do you kind of see it as an opportunity for a team like you to see some of the big guys kind of taking a step to the side right now?
Well, I mean, for sure, I feel like if we had our commitment to know that we were going to run one car with one driver all year, I think it's an awesome season for that. You know, obviously, you know, some of the bigger guys, as you mentioned, have fallen off, and you know, but we just don't know right now. We don't know if we're going to have Alex back for full time. We don't know if we're going to have one driver run one car full time. It might be a variety of drivers. And I feel like if we can get one driver focused on a whole season, we could really do something this year.
We're with Mario Goslin tonight. You can find him in the Xfinity Series. You can see him at a short track every now and then, like everybody did at New Smyrna Speedway just last weekend. But Mario, when you look at the season that you guys had, there is no substitute for experience. Can you just imagine what Alex would be able to do in 2019, given the opportunity? And you never know, he still could have it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. Obviously, we're running out of time quick. I kind of felt like last week was a do-or-die week, but it looks like we have a couple meetings this week, and it could still happen. So, you know, we're trying to keep all options open, and it definitely needs to happen this week, I feel like, for it to, you know, for us to be able to put a good effort. I mean, we're already behind the A-ball from where we would like to be, but we could still make it happen. And I feel like, you know, honestly, last year we were shooting for top 20. I feel like we could shoot for top 15 this year.
100%.
If we can get the financial backing that we're looking for.
I fully agree with that statement wholeheartedly. You guys, it seemed like every time you hit the racetrack, you guys improved and, you know, or took lateral steps. And that is a huge thing. A lateral step in this sport is just as good as a step forward because it means that you're not stepping backwards.
Well, and it's, you know, especially as you mentioned, most of these places, first time Alex ever went.
So exactly.
Being that it's the second time around, you know, it surely would make things a lot easier.
100%. Mario, it wouldn't be Racetime Radio if we didn't talk about ARCA and Daytona. Do you have anything on the deck for the ARCA race at Daytona that you can talk about yet?
No, nothing. I know I won't have anything. I'm totally focused on Xfinity. It's just
gotcha.
Too hard. Xfinity season is so loaded at the beginning of the season, being that you're going to Daytona. You know, you've got five in a row. You're Daytona, Atlanta, Las Vegas, Phoenix, California, all in a row, and there's no way. This does not leave any time to get anything else ready properly.
I hear you.
Yeah, and look at what you'd have to get ready to do those five right in a row. It's just it's crazy. On the truck side of things, they do one, and then they get this great big break. Not with Xfinity, man. You guys are full on.
Yeah, it's when it starts, you've got to be ready. And it's just there's been so many changes with the ARCA cars and the ARCA series over the past 3 or 4 years that it's right now it's just not feasible for me to even try to put a car together. But, you know, just two Xfinity cars is plenty.
Lots definitely. To do. Well, I can guarantee you something, my friend. You have got a wide open line here. As soon as there's any breaking news at all with the team, with Alex, and I told Alex the same thing, we can't wait to hear from you guys. We're all with you, and if there's anything we can do to help speed that process up or get you on the air and talk about some news, you're more than welcome to this air. You just send me one quick note, and I can guarantee you we'll have you plastered everywhere and you guys up on this line. It would be so exciting to see Alex Labbe have one more kick at the can here to prove what you guys can do and what you're all about. It was dynamite watching you in 2018. It made the Xfinity Series for me as a viewer, as a race fan, it made those races way more important watching you guys than just turning on the Xfinity race and watching, you know, probably the same two or three guys at the front of the field.
Well, we certainly appreciate, everybody's support north of the border, everybody's support everywhere, but especially everybody that supported us there from Canada. And there's a lot of you, and it's, doesn't go without notice. You know, perfect world, we'll be back on tonight and have tomorrow night and have something big to announce.
You want to believe it, brother. Anytime you're ready, we'll get you back on here. But we got to thank you for your time tonight, Mario. I know you'll be getting ready in that shop and get that 36 ready. Something good's got to happen.
Oh yeah, we've been working on it and getting it ready. So it's going to Daytona. We just don't know with who's going to be behind the wheel right now.
You betcha. You take it easy, Mario. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Mario Goslin, fingers crossed, something breaks for those guys. They need a break right now.
Yes, 100%. And I think that, with what they did last year, they turned a lot of heads. They had a lot of different guys in the 90 as well, in the other cars.
Yeah, yep.
Josh Williams, Andy Lally. There was a bunch of different names throughout the year. And they did such a great job, it's definitely part of the sport that, you got to fight through the meetings portion and hopefully everything turns up and turns out good for Daytona.
Yeah, it was cool to see Donald Teige get behind the wheel
of
that 90
car.
He did a couple of great races. You never know what could develop there. I know he loves the NASCAR Pinty Series, and hopefully we got him full tilt in that again.
He loves the ovals in the NASCAR Pinty Series.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves the ovals in the NASCAR Pinty Series.
Yeah, maybe not those road courses, right?
Those pesky road courses get you every time.
Too funny. Okay, we're going to hit a break. When we come back, we'll talk ARCA, we'll talk Daytona, and we'll talk to a guy that was there on top of the tower and intricately involved, let's put it that way, with the test this past weekend. We got Nick Muncher going to join us on the other side of this one. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans. This is Ernie Irvin. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
Men, Morning Men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen, and I'm Mike Babchak. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me? I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady. Me? Anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You? Talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports.
Me?
I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM 82, and the SiriusXM app.
R&D Performance Center has supplied feature winners and champions with the race parts needed to win since 1982. Located on Highway 2, Lower Onslow, Nova Scotia, R&D with a complete machine shop, including cylinder head testing, resurfacing, dyno testing, and more.
So you know you got to do.
Call R&D today at 1-800-565-3795. A crew of race parts professionals is ready to take your calls and ship nationwide.
10-4.
With a full line of parts and components from Super Late models to Legends and Bandoleros. Visit us online at rtperformance.ca.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at dawsondental.ca.
More Short Track Live, coast to coast, next. Only on Racetime Radio.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
I'm playing a lot of old outlaw country music,
cool.
A lot of new outlaw country music.
Cool.
We talk about all kinds of important things, like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't know.
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved SiriusXM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Older than a witch's titty out there, isn't it?
Out in the country, past the city limit sign, where there's a
it is chilly.
It's cold.
It's cold. Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. Here we go. We're going to jump right back to the hotline. It's cold here, but it was warm where this next guest was all weekend long. It's probably still warm where he is in Charlotte, but or not Charlotte, Statesville. But let's welcome him in. We got Nick Muncher with us. Nicky, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Doing fantastic. How was Daytona? Was it nice and warm?
It was nice and warm the second day. First day, it was actually pretty cold and really windy.
Oh, so that's like 70 degrees, and it was a breeze.
I think we got to 75 the second day. First day, we were right around 39, 40, 41 degrees all day.
Ooh. You're lucky the button is so far away, because I would have just hung up on you.
So, Nick Muncher is the general manager with Brett Holmes Racing in the ARCA presented by Menard Series. Big test at Daytona this weekend. This is where you get a chance, Nick, to have a look at what you guys have built in the off season, if you want to call it an off season, over the last month and a half. That's it. But how did things come out? How did the car work?
Yeah, it's not much of an off season, but the Daytona test allows us all a chance to, you know, show off the fruits of our labor for what little time we did have here in the shop. You know, we get a 2-day test down in Daytona. And it went really well. You know, I think the ARCA series as a whole is a strong series, and it's going to definitely be strong as last year, if not stronger. There were something like 30-some entries down there at the test for both days, and, you know, the officials allowed us to do single-car runs and drafting both days throughout the time there, and I think the piece that we brought for Brett, he really, really enjoyed driving and had a good time doing it.
That's good. And how was it on the speed chart? Were you guys, who was the top guy? Who was up there on the top? I haven't got it in front of me.
Well, I never try to pay attention to the speed charts when we're at tests. You know, everybody's on a different game plan. Everybody's doing a different thing. But the second day when we pretty much just solely focused on drafting, we ended up fourth on the speed charts, I believe, throughout the day. So, you know, we were really happy with that. You know, obviously it just all depends on what group you're in and who you have around with you and, you know, where you are in position when you're drafting and what's going on. So, you know, some groups went out there and stayed single file the whole time. Some of them went out there and went 2x2 and 3 wide and, you know, saw if they could pass and draft and what they could do. So we got a little bit of mix of all that the 2 days we were down there. We tried some different things just to see how our car handled and what manufacturer cars, you know, it worked better with and who, you know, could be our quote-unquote teammates for the first 80 or so laps when we go back down there.
Nick, obviously the body style that ARCA now races with full-time, you know, it's not the first restrictor plate race or even the second, but it's still in its infancy stages, if you will, at Super Speedway Racing for ARCA. Did you guys learn much about the body and you know, what it kind of does in the air versus the last time that you ran it? And do you see many changes that are industry wide with the body?
Yeah, I mean, this coming into Daytona February 9th of this year will be our third Super Speedway race with the new composite body that the ARCA series runs. And, you know, going into Daytona last year was complete untold. Nobody knew what was going on. Everybody spent a lot of time at the wind tunnel and at their body hangers and then, you know, going over the data from the test. You know, you saw a lot of starting point from Talladega last year with what everybody had down there. But, you know, we're still learning and evolving when we go back to these super speedways. There's a lot to gain on these bodies. You know, it doesn't have nearly the twist and the give as the steel bodies, and you saw the bodies would sometimes get out of hand and you could, you know, really manipulate them. You know, these have hard points that you have to fit and common templates. But there's still a lot of different things you can do with the rear ends and different things you can do with the body placement and still make all the templates. And, you know, a lot of it's really just aero dependent now. It's more like a truck where it's big square box going around the track. So, you know, trying to figure out how you can best draft with somebody and, you know, who can push you or who you can pull up to is a lot more important than just raw speed like in years past.
If the test is any indication, obviously you mentioned you don't look at the speed chart, and nobody really does at super speedways anymore. But the who is everybody going to have their eyes on? Obviously, you guys are going to say yourselves, but who's everybody going to have their eyes on when you guys do unload for the actual race event at Daytona?
You know, I think if we went out there and said that, you know, we'd be the fastest and we expect to be P1 the whole time, it'd be a little foolish on our part. So, you know, we do try to pay attention to, you know, who's going to be strong all year and who we're going to be fighting for the championship come, you know, October at Kansas Speedway. But I think, you know, Venturini, obviously, in years past, are always strong. They have really good TRD and Toyota support behind them. And, you know, they have a pretty stout stable of drivers this year. So I expect them to be towards the top. And then, you know, you see different organizations that have teammates. You know, see Empire Racing, they have Sean Corr and Thad Moffitt, and they spend a lot of time working together. So you'll expect them to link up at the race and try to work together. You know, we're a little bit different. We're a single car operation, so we don't have any quote unquote teammates. So we actually spend a lot of time, you know, drafting with different people, different cars and organizations, and just to see who we could link up with and, you know, who would either be best to push us or we'd be best to push them, you know, try to get to that last lap.
And it's probably a good thing at times, right, Nick, to be that solo guy so that you're not really depending on someone else or someone else is depending on you. Brett will have the ability to say, hey, I'm fast with this guy or I want to go over here. And it's politically not going to be a problem. You go and you race where you want to race. It's probably a good thing at times.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique situation for us. You know, we don't have to worry about hurting anybody's feelings at the board meeting Monday after the race. Because, you know, we're self-contained. But, you know, we learned a lot. We tried to spend a lot of time with some of the other single-car teams. You know, we spent a lot of time with the 7 of Cody Rohrenbaugh, trying to draft with him. And, you know, he ended up being a really good drafting partner throughout the weekend. And, you know, we spent some time with the 02 of Andy Seuss. And even the two cars that Chad Bryan Racing brought down there, Joe Graff Jr. and Parker Kligerman got in one of his other cars for a little while. And just to see, you know, what we could do. And seems like the Chevrolet bodies, you know, obviously really like each other, but the Fords, you know, work well with the Chevys. A little bit different this year. We noticed that the Toyota bodies, for whatever reason, didn't quite work as well with the Chevrolets. They did work with the Fords, so, you know, that just leads me to believe that the Fords could be strong because they can kind of go either way. But, you know, it's all about the give and take all the way up to that last lap.
Oh, absolutely. How about pushing? You know, is something we always see at Daytona. Doesn't matter what class, whether it's trucks, Cup, or Xfinity, or you guys in ARCA, we see contact, and sometimes it works, and it works real good. Other times, not so good. What do you think we're going to see this year at Daytona in the 200?
Yeah, you know, I think just like last year, it's all about like that give and take, like I said, and it's all how you're going to do that. ARCA has a rule where you can't do any bump drafting or pushing in the turns, which is good. You know, a lot of these kids are young and inexperienced compared to those Cup guys. But on the straightaways, the super stretch there, you can get together if you play your cards right. You know, the spotters are obviously going to have to work really well together because it's going to be a lot of trail breaking and trying to get linked up. But once they do link up, the bodies do, you know, mesh a lot better than the old steel body cars do. And that was another thing, you know, we spent some time doing, see how close we could get to the other guy and how much they had to trail break or, you know, fall back to be able to hook up with us. We spent 5, 6, 7 laps with the 27, Travis Braden, you know, pushing him when he was leading a draft, and it worked out really well. So, you know, we learned some stuff there for sure.
And that's what you want to do in a test, right? You guys went down there, you got some more notes. Did many of the notes from 2018 fall into place for 2019 during the test, or was it time to rewrite and start a new page?
So, I mean, being it's a two-day test and we have plenty of time, per se, you know, we started with some of the things that we learned in 18. We even tried a few things that we saw in the wind tunnel last year or at the test or even in the race that didn't work, and tried them in, you know, a different manner and tried some different, adding some different things to it. And we, you know, we learned a few things and actually brought a few things back that we didn't try. And, you know, there's just so much that you can do with these cars and with the Ilmor ARCA motor and the bodies. And, you know, it's all about finesse and just continually tweaking. And it's actually surprisingly a bunch of little things add up to a big thing. There's no one big thing anymore that you can do to really wow everybody. It's just how you add all those puzzle pieces together to get to the end game.
Yeah, well, you know one thing for sure. Actually, two things for sure. Goosebumps when you get into Daytona, you go under that tunnel. You always get those. And the pucker meter always goes off when you're at that track. Did it go off many times? Did anybody wreck in practice?
No, there was no wrecks. You know, I think there was one team lost a motor, and there's one team that had some problems, you know, just getting on the pit road. I think they were trying to, you know, a hot situation, trying to get on there as fast as possible and get woed up. But other than that, there was no damage to report, and, you know, there was no real oh crap moments that anybody saw. Everybody worked really well together, you know, took their time, you know, especially there's several kids out there that were just there to get approved for the race. You know, a lot of people that had never seen super speed racing before. So, all in all, it's actually a really good test for everybody. You know, usually there's one of those moments where everybody cringes a little bit or wonders why they did that at a test, but surprisingly everything went really smooth. I think all the ARCA officials were happy, and just kind of seemed that all the teams were happy throughout the end of the Saturday's test.
Well, it seems like every time that there's a quiet practice session or test session, then the race is usually mayhem. So have fun down there, bud.
That has definitely happened before. I mean, as I'm sure a lot of people know, you know, we started dead last at Daytona last year and worked our way up to third place, you know, coming to the checkered flag, going in turn three, and, you know, we got hit from behind and spun and ended up on our side and spun all the way down the backstretch on our side. So anything can happen. Anything will happen. You just kind of have to expect the unexpected. And, you know, the biggest thing for us in Daytona or even Talladega is just survive. You know, try to get out of there at the top 10, because obviously it's a big points day. But as everybody knows, it's a crapshoot. You never know what's going to happen, who's going to work with you. Anything's possible. So we put a lot into these races, obviously, and we all want to get to victory lane. But, you know, a lot of us all are already focused on Pensacola, which is our second race of the year, which, you know, we can control just a little bit more than super speedway racing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Just a little bit more.
Just a touch more, right?
Just a touch more, yeah.
Obviously, with Brad Holmes racing, Nick, the industry, you know, really kind of went through a little bit of a change over the winter, with some of the big teams kind of taking a step sideways or backwards. You guys had a large acquisition, you know, with a new crew chief and some new personnel, and you guys are really retooling Brett Holmes Racing. Basically, it looks like a different operation than what took place in 2018. Looking for that chemistry that you had at one point with Grant Enfinger and those guys with GMS back in the day. Talk to us a little bit about the changes and how everybody meshed together this weekend and what we can expect out of Brett Holmes Racing rolling forward.
Yeah, I mean, it was no secret that, you know, we struggled throughout the summer last year. You know, we could never really find that one key person to really lead the team. I felt like we had a strong, you know, core group of guys, but we just lacked that leadership there in the crew chief role, and that really kind of hurt us with setups and being prepared to go to some of these races. And, you know, we still knocked off some top fives and top tens throughout the year, but it wasn't what, you know, we expected. It wasn't meeting any of our goals going in. So we kind of retooled towards the end of the year. You know, we worked 10 Trader Racing a few times just to get Brett some more seat time. But in the off season, you know, we ended up hiring Shane Huffman, who a lot of people know, you know, used to be a NASCAR Busch Series racer for Junior Motorsports, and then after he quit racing, he was a crew chief at Turner Scott Motorsports, and then, you know, moved his way on. I actually had the pleasure of working with him and his guys at GMS Racing with Brandon Jones and Austin and Ty Dillon. But we hired Shane. He brought a couple of his guys over from MDM Racing. There was two or three guys that we felt were really core guys from the team last year that we brought back with us and we kept with us. And you know, so far everything seems to be meshing really well. Everybody's getting along really well, working, you know, really well together. We had some long nights in preparation leading up to Daytona, which I'm sure most teams did, just trying to finesse everything, spend as much time on the pull down and on the dyno as you possibly can. But, you know, I think coming out of that, going into the test and, you know, going there with no problems and walking away with fourth in the speed charts and drafting is a good testament to the guys that we have for this year.
We're with Nick Mauncher tonight here on Racetime Radio, fresh back from Daytona. And Nick, Joe and I were talking at the beginning of the show. We're discussing ARCA and K&N looking down the road. There's going to be an amalgamation take place, or at least that's what we've heard. There could be happening. How do you see it? Is it going to be more of an ARCA car, or is are the K&N guys going to have to build what you guys have got, or do you think maybe it's going to be the ARCA guys are going to have to build what K&N's got? What do you think?
Well, the neat thing about K&N and ARCA is, and I don't think a lot of people realize this, is they're actually pretty similar to start with. Some of the big differences are the motors. Obviously, ARCA runs the Ilmor motor, and K&N runs a spec Yates motor. But, you know, other than that, and some things with the rear ends and roof flaps and pit crews, they're pretty similar with what we can do and what we can't do in the rules package. So there's been several different things talked about what they're going to do going forward. Obviously, NASCAR, starting January 1st, has controlling interest in ownership of the ARCA series, but they've left everything intact for 2019. Ron Draeger's still at the helm with his core group of guys and Grayling Call and Bobby Thompson. And, you know, we're going to the same essential schedule and rules. There was no real rule changes for us this year, but they've already kind of let us know in 2020 the direction that they're going to take. And they've talked about everything from merging it all to one to leaving it two separate series. And I think the last I heard is, you know, it's going to be two separate series that run together, essentially, you know, as the Hooters Pro Cup used to be, the North and South Series. It'll be somewhat similar to that, where there'll be individual championships and then one grand champion, if you will, at the end of the season. And I think the K&N guys will still be able to run their motors, and we'll still be able to run the Ilmor motor, and they'll just tune them at each track to where they're the same. So won't be big expenditures really for anybody on that route, and I'm sure they'll, as we go along, they'll, you know, make everybody have the same rear end and same, you know, front suspension and geometry. But other than that, you know, it'll be pretty seamless and painless for everybody to get on the same page.
Yeah, how cool would that be, right, to have a K&N car show up and get into an ARCA race and there be, you know, no, virtually no difference, just jump in and go.
Yeah, and I think, you know, besides just the cool factor, it's going to really, you know, help boost car counts everywhere. You know, I think the ARCA series was, like I said, the beginning was already strong, and it's getting stronger every year with some of the initiatives that Ron Draeger and his team have been putting in. I think that's one of the things that interested NASCAR is, you know, their K&N series wasn't faltering by any means, but it just was kind of there every year on how can we make this, you know, one grand national series, if you will, because K&N had East and West, where ARCA was, while it was national, it, you know, it really spent a lot of time up Midwest. And mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing we'll see is just, you know, what tracks we go to. We already go to a handful of NASCAR tracks. I suspect we'll go to a couple more, you know, maybe we'll go to Dover and New Hampshire and things like that. But, you know, the core short tracks, you know, ARCA wants to keep in there, go to Toledo Speedway and Salem Speedway, you know, which I think if anyone can win at Salem Speedway, they can win pretty much anywhere. It's rough and beating and banging and fast and pace as that is. So, you know, they want to keep some of that. You know, they want to keep the dirt races, which K&N West has kind of expanded on with the Bullring at Vegas. So it'll be interesting to see, I think, and, you know, they'll also add some road courses, which K&N's been known for, and ARCA typically only has one a year on, so it'll kind of go back to that diverse series where we hit all platforms of racing.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. They don't want to mess with the heritage too much, I don't think, of ARCA. Those Salems and those Kentuckys and all that kind of stuff there, it's going to be cool. It's going to be a great Daytona, too. By the sounds of it, the test was successful. Sounds like the 23 car is going to be one for everybody to keep their peepers on.
Yeah, we really hope so. You know, our Chevrolet was fast to test, and, you know, we got some more tests planned going forward at places like Pensacola and Salem and Nashville, you know, some of the first races that we see throughout the year, and just to try to make sure we have everything lined up and all our ducks in a row. You know, I think last year our short track program was right there. We hadn't quite, you know, cusped what we wanted to, but with adding Shane Huffman to the mix, you know, that automatically we feel like, you know, top five every week there. And, you know, Shane's knowledge of the intermediate racing in the ARCA series and will really help us when we get to the Poconos and the Charlottes of the world. You know, Shane won Pocono last year with Harrison Burton at MDM Motorsports. So we really look forward to, you know, all the races. There's not one race that, you know, we're worried about this year or questioning. And Just look forward to kicking it all off.
That's cool, Nick. Hey, we got to thank you for your time tonight. We're right up alongside it, so we got to thank you for your time. And good luck. I know we'll be chatting back and forth lots before Daytona, and good luck in that race, brother.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, and appreciate getting to come on with Canada's two favorite Joeys.
You betcha, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, Nick.
All right, thank you, guys.
You bet. Nick Moncher with Brett Holmes Racing. Watch for those guys. It's going to be interesting, Junior.
I'd like to know where he'd have to drive, because he doesn't get any cell signal at home. So he guaranteed he left and went down the road in order to talk to us.
He is one dedicated guy. But that's going to do it for Junior and I here tonight in the Racetime Radio studio. Got to thank Susie Q right here for lining us up with everybody. And, of course, our producers back in Toronto on Sirius XM Channel 167. But that's it for us. We'll catch you next Sunday night right here on Racetime Radio. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.